The story, which for so many years had seemed fantastic to so many people, was a revelation for José Arcadio II. He auctioned off his roosters to the highest bidder, recruited men, bought tools, and set about the awesome task of breaking stones, digging canals, clearing away rapids, and even harnessing waterfalls. "I know all of this by heart," Ursula would shout. "It's as if time had turned around and we were back at the beginning." When he thought that the river was navigable, José Arcadio II gave his brother a detailed account of his plans, and the latter gave him the money he needed for the enterprise. He disappeared for a long time. It had been said that his plan to buy a boat was nothing but a trick to make off with his brother's money, when the news spread that a strange craft was approaching the town. The inhabitants of Macondo, who no longer remembered the colossal undertakings of José Arcadio Buendía, ran to the riverbank and saw, with eyes popping in disbelief, the arrival of the first and last boat ever to dock in the town. It was nothing but a log raft drawn by thick ropes, pulled by 20 men who walked along the bank. In the prow, with a glow of satisfaction in his eyes, José Arcadio II was directing the arduous maneuver. There arrived with him a rich group of splendid matrons who were protecting themselves from the burning sun with gaudy parasols, and wore on their shoulders fine silk kerchiefs with colored creams on their faces and natural flowers in their hair and golden serpents on their arms and diamonds in their teeth. The log raft was the only vessel that José Arcadio II was able to bring to Macondo, and only once, but he never recognized the failure of his enterprise, but proclaimed his deed as a victory of willpower. He gave a scrupulous accounting to his brother, and very soon plunged back into the routine of cockfights. The only thing that remained of that unfortunate venture was the breath of renovation that the matrons from France brought, as their magnificent arts transformed traditional methods of love, and their sense of social well-being abolished Catarino's antiquated place and turned the street into a bazaar of Japanese lanterns and nostalgic hand organs. They were the promoters of the bloody carnival that plunged Macondo into delirium for 3 days, and whose only lasting consequence was having given Aureliano II the opportunity to meet Fernanda del Carpio. Remedios the Beauty was proclaimed queen. Ursula, who shuddered at the disquieting beauty of her great-granddaughter, could not prevent the choice. Until then, she had succeeded in keeping her off the streets unless it was to go to mass with Amaranta, but she made her cover her face with a black shawl. The most impious men, those who would disguise themselves as priests to say sacrilegious masses in Catarino's store, would go to church with an aim to see, if only for an instant, the face of Remedios the Beauty, whose legendary good looks were spoken of with alarming excitement throughout the swamp. It was a long time before they were able to do so, and it would have been better for them if they never had, because most of them never recovered their peaceful habits of sleep. The man who made it possible, a foreigner, lost his serenity forever, became involved in the sloughs of abjection and misery, and years later was cut to pieces by a train after he had fallen asleep on the tracks. From the moment he was seen in the church, wearing a green velvet suit and an embroidered vest, no one doubted that he came from far away, perhaps from some distant city outside of the country, attracted by the magical fascination of Remedios the Beauty. He was so handsome, so elegant and dignified, with such presence, that Pietro Crespi would have been a mere fop beside him, and many women whispered with spiteful smiles that he was the one who really should have worn the shawl. He did not speak to anyone in Macondo. He appeared at dawn on Sunday like a prince in a fairy tale, riding a horse with silver stirrups and a velvet blanket, and he left town after mass. The power of his presence was such that from the first time he was seen in the church, everybody took it for granted that a silent and tense duel had been established between him and Remedios the Beauty, a secret pact an irrevocable challenge that would end not only in love, but also in death.